Hello and welcome to another episode of Daf Shvui, weekly daf. Give me 40 minutes or so and I'll give you a daf or so. Well, this will probably be the last podcast of 2021. So happy new year. And let's hope that 2022 will be better. There are some good things happening in 2021, but 2022 will be better. But it's good today. We heard the verdict in the Kim Potter case. She shot Dante Wright, a young black man who was sitting in his car and driving. Traffic stop because he had the wrong blinker on when he made a turn. It's called a pretextual stop. Recent New York Times investigative report that showed that pretextual stops lead to most police killings, police shootings. And there's no reason for them, since if you're going to stop a car, you already have their license plate, you can just go to their house and give them a ticket for making a turn with the wrong blinker instead of killing them. By pulling out your gun and shooting them instead of pulling out your taser, which looks totally different. But at least she was found guilty. Okay, yeah. That's how 2021 is going out. So we've had a couple of steps forward, the arena of justice, though our solution to all of these problems still seems to be caging people, which is the evil at the root of a lot of what's going on. But hopefully it'll be better. It will be better. And semester's come to a close. A little vacation. A little Omicron. Hopefully won't get any. Canceled some travel plans. Made some other travel plans. And I hope you all will have some downtime before, during, around New Year's to rejuvenate, refresh, and go into 2022 roaring to make the world a better place to learn more Gemara. Was that a positive note? I think so. I hope that was a positive note. Okay, and now a special announcement. Daf Shvui is a low overhead operation, which happens because we love to do it. However, there are some ongoing costs for recording and podcast hosting and the like, in addition to my time and Ellie's time and talent, so we are trying something new. Daf Shvui now has a Patreon account, and if you feel so moved, you can put a few bucks into the hat. Remember, we are not one of those corporate Daf Shvui outfits. We are just a mom and pop shop from the heartland of Los Angeles. Thank you so much. Who's Daf? Our Daf! So we are on the top of 81A, Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah, three lines down, on the daf the way it was set by the widow and brothers Rome, lo these 150 years ago. It's actually a great session, apparently. Just looked great. I wasn't there, but it was a great session at the Association for Jewish Studies conference on the publishing house of the widow and brothers Rome and how great a businesswoman the widow Rome was. They managed to finance it by subscriptions, by started marketing, by creating this thing that when somebody gets married, they get a set of Talmud, a chasna shas. That was them. They got approbations from all over Europe. It was an amazing thing. And we still have it to this very day, to the widow and the brothers Rome. L'chaim. Here we go. So the Mishnah, Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. There's a link on the podcast page, as always, to where you can find the daf in Hebrew books, in Sefaria, in Ala Torah. And if you want to throw a couple of dollars to any of those folks who perform amazing services, that would also be good. And you can tell them that you heard about it from here, from Daf Shvui. All right, the Mishnah. HaKoneh Shnei Ilanot B'toch Sadeh Chavero Harei Zeh Lo Kana Karka. If somebody buys, and this Mishnah is going to sound a little bit familiar for those of you who are weekly listeners, one who buys two trees in his fellow's field, he has not bought the land under the trees. So just by the action of buying the two trees, he hasn't bought the trees themselves. Rabbi Meir Omer Kana Karka. However, Rabbi Meir says that he did actually buy the trees. So this Mishnah is implicated in the dispute about buying Yafar or buying Ra. The Tana Kama's opinion, the one who buys two trees does not buy the land, is even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says buying Yafar. Now, buying Yafar generously, that is, if I sell you something on my property, I also sell you the ability to get to it. So Rabbi Akiva would ostensibly say that the buyer would have bought the land. The thing, though, according to the Adrama, is that we're talking about the land once and if the trees die. Then the land does not belong to the buyer of the trees. So So the Yad Ramah explains this, that the subordinate, the tafel, is sold with the principal object, the ikar. Here, the trees are subordinate to the land. They're tafel to the land. While the trees are sold, the land is only able to be used but not sold. Right, so this is actually the Yad Ramah, Rameir Levi Abulafia, Spanish, 14th century, says that the trees are subservient to land legally, not subservient. Yeah, so they're tafel, they're lesser than the land, so you don't immediately assume that you're buying land, but the trees are in the land. So what that means is that you can use the land. In other words, the trees, the owner of the land can't say, well, sorry, just take your trees and go. The owner of the land has to give you use of the land for the trees to gain nutrients, and there are a couple of other impacts of it as we go on further. But this is even according to Rabbi Akiva, who would normally say that when you sell land, you sell it by and if I sell it generously, so therefore you would think that you sold the land, because there is a unique type of selling here, which means that the selling of the trees and that you have some kind of grasp, some kind of a chazakah on the land, but it's a grasp that is less than an actual sale. So when the trees die, that's it. You're done. You don't have any more connection to the land. Rabbi Meir says that you bought the land. If you have trees, you've also bought the land. That would mean ostensibly that if the trees died, you still have that land and you can plant more trees on that very piece of property. Okay, so this does impact, just thinking about it in a larger sense, as we've been going through this masechet, it does impact what we mean by ownership of land, right? So Rabbi Meir says that by buying the trees, you have bought the land, which impacts the ownership of the land for the land's owner. And the sages say there are two different types of ownership that we're talking about. So then the Mishnah goes on, Higdilu lo yishafeh, lo yishafeh. So if the trees, the crown of the trees, the branches of the trees grow, the owner of the field cannot cut them, right? Because even though the shade might harm the plants that are underneath the trees, especially if it's trees that are irrigated by rainwater, perhaps, that's the assumption, but since this is going back to the Tanakhama, not Rabbi Meir, since the Tanakhama says that you don't own the land, but that also means that the owner of the land has to give you leeway for wherever the trees branch, wherever the tree goes. Right? So if the branches of the trees spread out, so then the owner of the land can't cut the branches of the trees. And whatever grows out of the trunk of the tree belongs to the owner of the tree, right? So there's more tree there. It grows out of the trunk. And whatever grows out of the roots of the tree, because that's underground, belongs to the owner of the land. Above and beneath the ground is the criteria. Therefore, our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda in another dispute, which we find in a Braita, which is only quoted in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, meaning possibly a Babylonian Braita, meaning a Braita made up by the Bavli, but possibly, we don't know. Detanya yotzeimen agezmen asharshin arei elu shel bala karka devirmer, that which grows out of the trunk and of the roots belongs to the owner of the field, according to Rumer. Rabbi Yehuda omer min ageza shel bala ilan umin asharshin shel bala karka. Rabbi Yehuda says that which grows out of the trunk belongs to the tree owner, and that which grows out of the roots belongs to the owner of the land. So the Yad Ramah points out, our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says what we just said anonymously, that which grows out of the trunk of the tree belongs to the owner of the tree, that which grows out of the roots belongs to the owner of the land, because the land is the dividing mark, right? You get to use my land because you have trees there, but the land is mine. So whatever is under land, if more stuff grows out of the roots, that is mine because it's growing out of my land, apparently. That seems to be the logic. And if the trees died, then that's it. As we said, there is no more land. Not that there is no more land. The land no longer belongs to you. Okay? This is according to the Tanakhama. None of this is according to Rabbi Meir. But here's the interesting thing. Kanashlosha, if You bought three trees, kana karka. Then he bought the land with it because now it's flipped. According to what we said before, the tafel now becomes the land and the ikar is the trees. Because once you have three trees, it's like you have a little fieldala there, you know, a little separate piece of property. So the three trees and everything that's in between the trees, the land belongs, it's as if, as the Yad Rama says, it's as if it is understood that when you buy the trees, you bought the land. And here, counterintuitively perhaps, if the crown of the trees, the branches, grow beyond what it was originally, then the owner of the land can trim them, because since land around the trees belongs to the owner of the trees and was bought by implication with the trees, it was only bought up to where the trees were. So then once it goes beyond that, the owner of the rest of the field could say, no, sorry, now you're using my field where before you're using your field. So therefore, if the branches of the trees grow out too far, then he can trim them back. And both that which grows out of the trunk and that which grows out of the roots belong to the owner of the tree. And if they die, the trees, then the land still belongs to the owner of the trees, right? Because he has bought the trees. Now, so this is another way of thinking about ownership of land. We've seen before in various different ways, Mitzarim, the boundaries of land, how many trees, you know, what, who owns what, if you sell it, if the, you know, so the different ways that infringe upon ownership of land in different ways. And now we're going to run into another one. And that one has to do with Bikurim. So a little bit about Bikurim before we get into Bikurim. Deuteronomy 26 says, and this should be familiar or might be familiar to those of you who do Seder every year, when you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you as a heritage and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of every first fruit of the soil, Bikurim, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God will choose to establish God's name. You shall go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, I acknowledge this day before the Lord your God that I have entered the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to assign us. The priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. You shall then recite as follows before the Lord your God. My father was a fugitive Aramean. He went down to Egypt with meager numbers and sojourned there, but there he became a great and very populous nation. The Egyptians dealt harshly with us and oppressed us. They imposed heavy labor upon us. We cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our plea and saw our plight, our misery, and our oppression. The Lord freed us from Egypt by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm and awesome power, and by signs and portents. God brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wherefore I now bring the first fruits of the soil which you, O Lord, have given me. You shall leave it before the Lord your God and bow low before the Lord your God. And you shall enjoy together with the Levite and the stranger in your midst all the bounty that the Lord your God has bestowed upon you and your household. Okay, so that is the commandment of Bikurim, of bringing the first fruits. The first fruits in Mishnah Bikurim, the first fruits are only from the seven categories of the seven minim, the seven categories that are found in the land of Israel. You bring them first to, and you only bring dried fruits, not fluid, not water, not beverage, not mashkin, not beverage of fruits, not olive oil, but only olives, for example, right? So this is the commandment of Bikurim, which will become very relevant in a minute. But there's also a short commandment in Exodus 23. Reshit Bikureyat Matcha Tavi Beit Anelahacha, the choice first fruits of your soil you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. Okay. Gemara. Okay, so that's the background to this next piece of Gemara. Right, you have to bring to, so the rabbi's going, there's a whole Mishnah of Bikurim, goes, what does it exactly mean? And the Rambam has a whole thing, which is very interesting because it's a procession. You go from town to town. They dress up their oxen who will pull the carts with the first fruits. And it's on Shavuot where you bring the first fruits and you, it's a whole thing. It's not Hatam. So the Gemara says, referring to the Mishnah in Bikurim, it says there. Okay, so this is from the chapter 1 in Mishnah Bikurim. Konesh ne'ilanot betoch shel chavero, mevi ve'no kore. Rabbi Meir Omer, mevi ve'kore. So, if one buys two trees in his friend's field. So he brings the Bikurim, but he doesn't read. Remember it said, and you place the basket before the priest, and then you recite. And then what you recite is what you also see in the Seder. But then you recite that part. So if you have bought two trees in your fellow's field, question is then whether or not you can bring Bikurim. And if you can bring Bikurim, can you read this chapter from Bikurim? Right? Because it says that this is from the land that God has given to me, and it's not, it's just from trees that are on somebody else's land. Rimeir says you can bring and read, and this seems to resonate with Rabbi Meir's statement in the Mishnah, which says that if you bought two trees, you bought the land. And then you can say that this is from my land that God has given to me. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Mechayev haya Rav Meir af belokeach perut minashuk. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, no, this is nothing. Rav Meir doesn't only say that if you have two trees, if you bought two trees in somebody else's field, that you can then bring and read. But Rav Meir also says, if you just buy fruit in the marketplace, you can also bring it, you have to bring it, and you have to read the Parshat Bikurim, the portion of the first fruits. Mimai, so the Stam says, where do we know this from? Where do you know this from? Midi katani Mishnah Yeter, because there's an extra Mishnah here. Michti tana le deyeshlo karka pshita de mevi vikore. From the fact that it says that he has land, so of course he has to bring it and read the parsha, right? From the fact that in our Mishnah, right, it says kana karka, so we know already that he has land, so of course he has to bring the first fruits and read the portion. Elishmamina mechayev haya Rabbi Meir af belokeach perot minashuk. So therefore, why does this extra Mishnah Rabbi Meir has to say mevi vikore? We already know that by implication from the fact that if he buys two trees, he has land. So therefore, this must mean by implication that actually he doesn't only mean that, because that we already know, means that even if he buys fruit in the market. V'haktiv, how does that make sense? Asher tavimi artzecha, it says in the Torah that you bring from your land. So how is it from you bring from the land if you're buying it in the marketplace? Hahu lema'ute chutzlaretz. That's something else. That is just to exclude fruit that comes from outside of the land of Israel. V'aktiv admatcha, but also says your land. Lema'ute admatgoi. No, so that is to exclude bringing it from land which belongs to a non-Jew. V'aktiv asher natateli. But it says that you have given me, and this is just fruit in the marketplace. Diabetli zuzi bizamniba. So what does it mean that you have given me? You have given me money, meaning you, God, have given me money, have made it possible for me to earn money, with which I bought this fruit. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, even in the marketplace. Meiti Rabba actually then challenges this. The next generation, because there we have another brayta which says Hakone Ilan Echad Betoch Shel Chavero Mevive No Kore. The fee shelo kana karka divirin there. If one bought one tree in his friend's field, in his fellow's field, then he can bring Bikurim, but he can't read. So that's a lesser level. Right, the Mishnah in the beginning of Bikurim distinguishes between those who bring Bikurim, the first fruits, and have to read the Parshat Bikurim, the portion, wandering Aramean was my father, etc., and those who can just bring, but they can't read because there's some kind of doubt about whether it fulfilled, the first fruits that they're bringing, fulfill the biblical notion of first fruits. So here, Rabbi Meir says that if one buys a tree in his fellow's field, he brings the fruit, the first fruits, to the temple, but he doesn't read the portion of Bikurim, lefi shelo kana karka, because he didn't buy the land. That's according to Rumeir. So tshuvta, so that seems, tshuvta means mic drop in Aramaic. Tshuvta means he is refuted. That is a total refutation of Shmuel's implication, quoted by Rabbi Yehuda, that Rumeir would say, even if he brings it from the marketplace, because even if it's only one tree and it actually grew on a tree, but it's in his fellow's field, he can't bring it because he hasn't bought the land. So Rabbi Meir also necessitates owning the land on which the fruit grow. This week's podcast is brought to you by the Cucumber Council of America. You know those times when you want to snack on something that's not too spicy or spicy at all, but at the same time not really sweet or sweet at all? Something that's crunchy, but when you bite into it, there's no danger of taste. Well, then you are looking for a cucumber. Big ones, little ones, they've all got that refreshing lack of any sort of taste. Cucumber, it's not a food, but it's not not a food. All right. Amarle Reb Shimon ben Eliakim l'Reb Elazar. So Reb Shimon ben Eliakim said to Reb Elazar, my time at Rebbe Meir be'ilan echad. So what was Rebbe Meir's reason that you can't bring it for one if you only had one tree? And what's the sage's reason that you can't see, you could bring, but you can't say the both of them. You could bring, but you can't say the Bikurim portion with two trees, the sages, and one tree, Rabbanan. Amar Laos, Rabbi Lazar answered him. What are you doing? Rabbi Lazar says, something that our predecessors didn't know the reason, so they didn't write it down. You're going to ask me here in the middle of the study hall in order to embarrass me? I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said, my question, what's the question? What's the question? Dilma, Rabbi Meir, be'ilan echad, sfuke misafkalan. Rabbanan, b'shnei ilanot, sfuke misafkalan. So maybe it is that Rabbi Meir thinks it is a doubtful, it's doubtful with one tree, and Rabbanan say, and sages say that maybe it's doubtful with two trees. So in doubt, then you can't bring it. But it doesn't, Rabbi Meir doesn't sound very doubtful. He sounds very definitive when he says, because they did not buy land. So he answers, let's say that it's perhaps that when it says the fish of Kanakaka, because he didn't buy land, Shemal Kanakaka is maybe he didn't buy the land. Belechush de Dilma lav bikurim nihu become a ayel chulin lazara. And in that case, since maybe he didn't buy the land, we should worry, we should take into account that maybe they are not actually first fruits. And then actually he's bringing things that are not sanctified into the temple court, which is a no-no, a big no-no. Non-dedicated fruit into the temple court. Very bad. Dimaktishlu. So maybe he dedicates them. No, you solve one problem, but you create another problem because the priests have to be able to eat the fruit. And if they're dedicated, then they can't eat it. Deparaklu. So, okay, so maybe they take it out of its dedication. They redeem it. There's a mechanism for redeeming it with money. V'dilma lav bikurim ninu become mafka lohu mitruma maser demafreshlu. Okay, but maybe they're not actually first fruits, right? Again. And in bringing them to the temple for pseudo first fruits, for demi first fruits, then you've taken them out of the game for the other matnot kuna, the other things you have to give to the priest, the truma, the maser, that you have to take out of the fruits and tithe. Bishlama truma gdola yavla the kohen. Okay, so there are different things that you have to take, different portions, different tithes that you have to take off from the fruit. Tithe literally means 10%, but they're not all 10%. Truma gdola is a little bit. So, but there's maser, the second tithe, there's first tithe, there's poor tithe. So they go through each of them. So meila, so bishlama truma gedola yavle la kohen. So truma gedola anyway goes to the kohen. So here you're giving it to a kohen to eat it as if it's bikurim. Doesn't make a difference. Maser sheni nami yavle kohen. The second tithing you also give to a kohen. You can also give to a kohen. So here the kohen gets it and he eats it, even though he's eating it make believe bikurim. Doesn't make a difference. Maser ani nami yavle la kohen ani. And if it's poor person's tithe, that also you could give to a kohen who's poor. But you have the first tithe was supposed to go to a Levite. It was supposed to go to a Levi and not to a Kohen. So who do you give that to? No, you could give it to the Kohen because of the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya says in a Braita, Truma gedola lekohen, maser rishon lelevi. The great tithe, the big tithe, goes to the Kohen, and the first tithe goes to Levi, according to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Amar Maser Rishon Af LeKohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you know what? The first tithe also goes to Kohen. V'dilma bikurim ninu b'ikarya. So then you say, oh, but then you have a problem on the other side. Okay, so this is all great. You're going to make believe it's this, and you can make believe it's that, and you're all fulfill the obligation. However, maybe it is first fruits, and then you have to read the portion of Bikurim. Kriya lama kevet. So no, because you, in order to fulfill your obligation, you don't actually have to read. Velo, is that true? V'amar abzera kol ra'ui lebila ein bila makevet bo. She ain no ra'ui lebila bila makevet bo. So Rabzera says that when you bring certain flower offerings to the temple and you have to mix them. If they are temple worthy or altar worthy, then if you don't mix them together, it doesn't detract from its being okay. It doesn't make it, doesn't taint the offering. However, and this is the counterintuitive part, if they're not mixed, or if they're not worthy to be put on the altar, and therefore they're not worthy also to be mixed, then if you don't, then the fact that you don't mix it prevents it from being an offering. So they're trying to say here that therefore it's the same thing as Bikurim, that if these fruit are not able to be Bikurim, then if you don't recite the liturgy for the Bikurim, then that stops it from being Bikurim. In other words, so then you have to recite it. But if they are already, if they are worthy for being Bikurim and you don't have it, then not saying the words doesn't stop it, is not a problem. So this is a kind of a paradox. If you don't say the words because they're not actually Bikurim, so then that's bad. If you don't say the words when they are Bikurim, that's okay. But then you have the other problems of what happens, you know, all the other things that went wrong earlier. Velo. So Dilma Bikurim Ninu by Kriya. So you go, David Lahu Kareb Yossi Bar Chanina. So what you do is according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Damar, Bitzaran Vishagran Biat Shaleach, Umei Shaleach Bederach Mevi Veino Korei. If you harvested and you sent it with an agent and the agent died along the way, so then anyone can bring it and not recite the portion. My time, Dichtiv Lakachta Veveta. Why is that possible? Because it says in the verse of Bikurim, and you shall take it and bring it. Because the taking and the bringing, now there's the same person or the same agent has to be the one who takes it and the one who brings it. But halakha, and here you don't have that because the agent died. Amarle Rabbi Acha Breder of Avya l'Ravashi. So Rabbi Acha Breder of Avya says to Ravashi, Michte Psukim Ninu Likrei. So what are you talking about? They're just psukim. They're just verses in the Torah. Why don't you just read it like you're reading Torah? Amarle Mishum de Merze Kishikra. So Ravashi said, no. If you read this portion, and this portion says, you know, this whole, my God, my father was a fugitive. I acknowledge this day before the Lord God that I have entered the land. The father swore to our fathers to assign us. And then you finish off by saying, God brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wherefore now I bring the first fruits of the soil, which you give me. Right? So that seems like you're saying a lie. Because these aren't just stam verses, not just verses in general. They're the specific verses. So Rav Mishasha Brei Rav Chia says this actually is another reason. Because if you do this, and then you say the verses of the Bikurim, of the first fruits, over these fruits, which are not necessarily first fruits, what you do is that you think, or somebody else thinks. It's not clear whether you think or somebody else thinks. The Rashbam actually has an internal dispute with himself. It says either you think or somebody else thinks that this kind, when you bring fruits and you say the verses from the Bikurim over the fruit, with the fruit as you give them, even though they're not real Bikurim, you don't have to give Trumot to Masrot for them. You don't have to tie them. And that is wrong. And maybe you'll come to start to understand this wrong practice as the right practice of not tithing these fruits, which have to be tithed. And we're worried about that. And here our daf comes to an end. And here our year of Daf Shvui comes to an end. It's been a pleasure to be with you all year, the whole secular calendar year. And I look forward to being back with you again after the New Year's. So thank you so much. My name is Aryeh Cohen. You can follow me on Twitter at IrmiKlat, IrmiKlat. And as always, thank you so much to our wonderful producer, Eli Unger Sargon. Please check out his podcast, Four Cubits with Jeff Helmreich. My amazing Charuta for another year, Charlotte Fun Robert. And of course, the communications team at Daf Shui, Shachar Cohen Hodos. You can always reach me at thewidowandbrothers@gmail.com. Be well, be safe, happy new year. Hope to see you again in a couple of weeks.